quarter two already. Hour two. We're rolling on here on a Monday edition of the program. Talked a ton about the Broncos draft. That's going to continue. Nugs and Avs both at a 3-1 series advantage, and the Nuggets with a chance to close this evening. Get back to those Ball Arena Bros coming up, but want to talk a little bit about the draft and something we learned over the weekend. We'll talk about the players that were selected, and we'll hear a little bit from Bo Nix coming up here, Stoke. But there was a report over the weekend that there were a couple of teams calling Denver during the draft about Courtland Sutton. The two teams were the Pittsburgh Steelers, reunite old Russ and Courtland there, and then the Los Angeles Rams also made a couple of calls, but the Broncos were not interested in dealing their leading wide receiver in Courtland Sutton, who didn't show up to minicamp, obviously looking for a bit of a new deal or guaranteed money. I like the conversation that you've had with that, Stoke. But my question is, after drafting a couple of wide receivers, should they have been in the business of maybe trying to move Courtland Sutton and add future capital?
You know, that's a tricky one for me, because right away I say, yeah, let's just move on, right? If he doesn't want to be here, let's move on from Courtland. Let's get these younger guys in there, get them a lot more reps. Let's see if Mims is going to be the guy, get him a lot more opportunities. And Franklin and the other kid from Utah,
yeah,
that
Vele.
We drafted. Vele. Yeah. And let's just rock and roll with these guys that want to be here. But then I take a step back and I'm like, man, that's a big risk there. We're trying to develop a young quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I want a player like Courtland Sutton on the field when that guy is playing quarterback. And, you know, big body guy, that, you know, you don't have to be perfect with. He'll go up there and make plays for you because of his size. Veteran guy that's, you know, he's not a top 10 receiver in the league, but he's a productive receiver, and I want that guy with my young quarterback. So I'm kind of torn here. At first I'm like, yeah, get him out of here. You don't want to be here. You're not going to be here. I don't want the hassle. I don't want to be talking about it. I don't want that drama in the locker room and wearing off on my young receivers in that locker room and the wide receiver room. And so just trade him. Like, we haven't won with them. He's had one 1,000-yard season. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a guy that's a perennial 1,000-yard receiver for us. But then you take a deep breath, take a step back, and I'm like, gosh, I don't know. I want him to help develop my young quarterback. So that's kind of where I am. And so I think what you have to do is – obviously, you got to touch base with him and see what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do you want to play hardball here? You either got to trade him, or probably give him what he wants, or come to a, you know, some kind of happy medium here where you can, you know, say, hey, we want to make you happy, mm-hmm. we want you back. What is that going to take? So I think it's one or the other here. You don't want him coming back unhappy.
No,
right? You don't want that. So I think you got to either trade him, which probably not going to trade him now, right?
You wouldn't think so. I mean, it would have been this weekend.
Exactly. Or
deadline, but then, you know, we're way down the road at that point.
Yeah. Here's my thought on that. You did draft two receivers. You mm-hmm. didn't know you were going to draft two receivers, you know, on Friday, right?
Sure.
So if you're looking, if people were calling the trade for Courtland, like you want to hold on to him through the draft because you don't know how the draft's going to play out you're going to get. But now that you did get two receivers, is it more likely that you say, okay, let's just trade him. We'll get a third rounder next year for him. It's time to move on from him. So that's going to be interesting to see, because I still think it's an option for the Broncos.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's well said of, hey, let's get through it, see what we have. Now on the other side, we have what we have in a couple of receivers that we've added. So could be something to go. I kind of go back to what we talked about Friday. Remember we talked about Thursday, the Broncos moving back and one of those trade partners being Pittsburgh. I want to believe this, and I don't know how real it is, but I'm going to convince myself of it, that Sean Payton isn't going to do anything to help Russell Wilson. And why the hell would he want to give him Courtland Sutton, who they clearly have some pretty solid chemistry on the football field with one another? So that might just be a sliver, and maybe it's just me making up a narrative, but I'm going to continue to think that.
Yeah, that certainly could be a possibility. But I think they got to figure this thing out with Courtland Sutton, right? Because you don't want an unhappy guy around a young football team, young quarterback you're trying to develop.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, it's not even worth the hassle. So if you can't make him happy with what he wants, whatever he wants, you know, more guaranteed money, a new extension, whatever that is. If you don't want to do that, then guess what? Then you just got to move him, right?
Yeah.
And I'm good either way here. I really am. But I think the worst thing that you can do is just, you know, be stubborn and hard-headed if you're the Broncos mm-hmm. and just say, nope, we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything at all.
Yeah.
And we're not going to trade you. You're either going to play under this contract or not. That's not a good thing, especially in this situation with what you're trying to build here with this young quarterback, some of these young wide receivers. So I think it's one or the other, man. You either just say, all right, we're trading you, mm-hmm. you're done, or we're gonna work with you here to come to some type of compromise and make this work for both parties, and we want you happy, we want to be happy, we want you back.
I'm thinking out loud here, which is always dangerous.
Very dangerous.
But let me ask you this.
Very dangerous and very risky.
Yeah, this could be dangerous here for the show. I'm the Broncos, you're Cortland Sutton and
okay.
his team.
Yeah.
I come to you and I say, I know you're not happy, you want some more guaranteed money, I know you want to be taken care of here. You got $26 million left on the deal over the next 2 years. None of it's guaranteed.
Right.
What if I said, all right, we'll throw you $10 million this year, guaranteed, but then that's it. We're gonna restructure. It's a 1 year deal. Basically, we're gonna give you the $10 million this year. You're a free agent next year. Do whatever you want, and we don't have to be worried about next year's $13 million.
Right. So he's gonna be a free agent after this year, and he's still gonna make his $13 million this year.
I mean, if they gave him the 10 guaranteed and the 2 they already give him, you get to 12.
Right. So you're gonna give him guaranteed money. I don't think he's gonna take that.
He wants longer term.
You see that? Well, I mean, $12 million for a starting wide receiver. That's kind of low, probably.
Yeah.
And you know,
He's not a one.
He's not a one, but he's a really good two, I would say, right?
Yeah. So I
think that would be a little bit low. I think you'd have to guarantee, you know, if you did that, it'd be like, okay, 1 year, $15 million contract, fully guaranteed, and you become a free agent at the end of the year. That might get it done.
Okay.
Or with the 2 years left, you look at it, you said 2 years, $36 million.
26.
Hey, oh, excuse me, $26 million. Hey, we're gonna give you, you know, $15 million guaranteed of that 26 with the 2 years left, and that might get it done, right? Because if you're in his situation, people keep saying new contract, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe if you just give him guaranteed money so he knows, like, okay, I'm going to be on the roster this year,
mm-hmm.
right? And I still have a little guaranteed money the following year. That might get it done. It might not. I don't know where he's at, but certainly – I think the biggest thing here is you got to find a way to work with Cortland Sutton, see where he's at. Heck, he might not even want to come back.
Right.
Right? We don't even know. We really haven't heard from him. People say he wants a new contract, but he might not. He might just be done with Denver. And then – so you need to know. I'm sure they know what he wants mm-hmm. and how he feels, but you need to get it figured out, like, soon.
Yeah.
You're not playing around anymore, right? You need to get this thing figured out. Bo Nix is going to be in the building. Bo Nix is here. So if Cortland Sutton is going to be a part of your team, you want him here for the offseason.
Yeah, very well said and agree. Broncos country, what do you think? What would you do if you're the Broncos? Or how would you feel if you're Cortland? What are you looking for from the Denver Broncos? Tell us at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Want to keep this conversation going. We know
– We 12 o'clock, we got a great guest at 12 o'clock. The star of the draft will be joining us, so stay tuned, 12 o'clock sharp.
Literally the star of the draft. I can't wait for it at noon. So, yeah, good call there, Stoke. When we get back, let's hear some from Bo Nix a little bit. He's Sean's guy. How does it feel to be Sean's guy? And all the talk about Bo was processing. Sean needs a quarterback that processes. Well, let's hear how Bo processes next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
All right, let's hear a little bit from Bo Nix. We know he was the 12th pick in the draft, the first pick for the Denver Broncos. And he has kind of been called Sean's guy, right? That was the narrative of Sean got his guy. The quarterback that Sean Payton wanted fell all the way down to 12, and the Denver Broncos selected Bo Nix at 12. So Bo, on his introductory press conference over the weekend, was asked what it means to be Sean's guy.
Well, it's first and foremost, it's just a huge honor. He could have picked, you know, anybody else in this draft, and he chose me. But with that, you know, comes great responsibility and one that I can't take lightly and I won't take for granted. But, you know, it starts with the next best thing that I can do. You know, I'm about to finish this press conference and go and finish out the tour, and then have a few weeks before the, rookie mini camps, and then have a lot to learn before then. And so I'm glad there are 2 weeks of buffer time so that I can get a lot of that in. But just excited to be his guy. You know, that's, it's not lightly said. And so, but again, it goes back. I don't want to just be, you know, a draft pick. You know, I want to be able to show my improvements and show that I can do what he picked me to do. And that's go out there and win games or help win games, do whatever I can to put his team in a better situation.
First takeaway, voice sounds better.
Oh, it sounds better.
Yeah. Do you think?
Okay.
Remember on Friday, he was on the phone, and we got into a weird conversation about,
I think,
the notebook.
I think you're correct there.
Yeah.
It does sound better.
Okay, so that's the first observation.
Okay, yep.
And then second, like, he's aware. It sounds like he kind of knows what the situation is with this team. And obviously they informed him of what's been going on and being Sean's guy, and he uses the old Spider-Man line, right? Comes with great responsibility. I like all of those things from Bo Nix. He is a kid that's mature. We obviously know he's a little bit older coming out later in his college career, but it seems like he has a pretty good grasp on what he's been elected to do.
Yeah, I liked what I heard there. So he's sounds like he gets it. He's going to get to work, learn the playbook, and get going. So I liked everything that he said there, and we'll see. We'll see how it plays out, obviously, for him and what it looks like throughout the offseason, but. He's got an opportunity here and to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that looks like moving forward through the offseason for him and these other quarterbacks, how they're going to, you know, break down the reps and all those things. But he's got a great opportunity, certainly, because he is Sean's guy. And, you know, I mean, Sean's the one that drafted him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fun to watch. But I liked everything I heard there from Bo Nix.
He kind of gave us a hint, too, because – teams in the NFL can have mini camps, rookie mini camps, either this weekend or next. And he said, hey, we're going to get a couple weeks to buffer. So obviously the Broncos are going to do that, not this weekend, but the following for the rookies to come and report. So learned a little bit about their schedule here from Bo as well. The other big topic of conversation with Bo Nix was processing. And we heard a ton about it during the draft. And Sean continued to talk about it. We need somebody that can process, has to be quick, you know, can't be Russell Wilson, basically. You have to process and not freak out and make the right play. Bo was asked point blank to take us through how he processes as a quarterback.
That's a great question. So it starts throughout the week with your preparation. It starts with what you can learn and what you already know and how you can put it together, how you can collaborate with coaches and other players to form a game plan that's going to best fit you and go out there and essentially execute it. You got to be as efficient as possible. So processing to me means taking something, you know, from the sideline, being able to evaluate it and see all the pros and the cons of the play and understand that whatever happens, you got to react to it. So every play starts usually now in the league, starts with a huddle, starts with a play call. Then there's probably a shift or a motion or a movement. There's going to be a cadence. There's going to be, you know, probably a, you know, primary play and a secondary play. You got to figure out all this is just offense. So now you got to look at the defense and see what they're in. You know, you got to see the front through the linebackers to the safeties. And then once you see that, you just process everything. And then hopefully your preparation has led you up to the point to where you can find the solution.
All right. That's
a lot there.
That's a ton there. He actually goes on for like another minute. That was more genuine and real than anything Russell Wilson ever said as a Bronco.
Yeah, I could, you know, listen to him talk. I'm like, okay, can I deal with this guy for the next, you know, decade,
mm-hmm.
or 5 years or 2 years, or will he start driving me crazy? I'm like, yeah, I like this guy.
Me too.
Right? I like what he's saying there. Certainly a lot different than Russ so far.
Yeah, and look, he's, you know, he kind of goes inside baseball there a little bit, giving us everything that has to happen. But I think that's what fans want to hear. They want to hear what that – I know I wanted to hear that.
Yeah.
All the options and what he's going through. And by the way, that's happening in 25 seconds. 35 seconds, whatever the case may be, right? Or I guess be 25 with the communication getting cut off at 15. Like, everything he just went through, he has to do in 25 seconds.
Yeah, and, you know, you get to play. And I mean, he broke it down really nicely. And so that's it's hard. It's a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Quarterback's got to know everything. And so, like, I don't think people realize, you know, how I mean, I think people know playing quarterback's hard, but you know, when you break it down like he broke it down, you know, when he went through all the offensive stuff, and then he's like, and then you got to look at the defense mm-hmm. and what they're doing, right. You know, at the front, you know, the front four there or front three, whatever, depends on what defense you're playing, the linebackers to the safeties and what coverage they're playing. So you got to realize, hey, if they're blitzing, you know, do I have it protected or is it not protected? Do I have to throw my hot route? What coverage they're playing? All those things. It's difficult. It's a very difficult thing to do, especially for young quarterbacks because the game is moving so fast. He's a little bit older quarterback, which I think hopefully is a positive, played a lot of college football. Supposed to be really, really smart, right?
Yeah.
And so that's not always a huge positive like you would think it would be, right? But I'd rather a smart quarterback than a dumb quarterback, right?
That's right.
You know, sometimes those smart guys, they do everything by the book, and it's like it's all, you know, structured for them. So,
they can't improvise.
Yeah. Mm. And so, you know, sometimes you got to be flexible.
Yeah.
So we'll see what it looks like.
We're here a bunch more from Bo Nix coming up throughout the show. Also, hey, how about a congratulations to CSU tight end Dallin Holker, who signs and he didn't get drafted, but signed an undrafted deal to go join the Saints.
Oh, awesome.
And looking like he's going to have a significant chance to make that roster and be somebody that can catch some footballs in 2024. I like Holker a lot. Obviously, CSU tie. We're going to root for the Colorado kids. So hopefully he can go to NOLA and your family's like buying his jersey in a couple
That's
of years.
That's right. No tight end for us.
No, I know.
How you feel about that? How on a scale of 1 to 10, like really disappointed, a little disappointed?
I'm about a 5. You know I love Lucas Kroll. So that means they like him as much as I like him.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's what it means at all. I guess, you know, we always talk about the draft's got to fall a certain way, right? Yeah. You're not going to reach on a tight end just because you need a tight end. I was really hoping they would get a tight end. Obviously, with the limited amount of picks that you do have, you know, especially early in the draft, you know, you're not going to force the issue. So I'm kind of right in the middle of the road there.
Okay.
It's a group that's been needing to get upgraded for years now.
Mm-hmm.
But so did the wide receiver room, which we got two of them.
Yep.
We needed pass rushers. We need, you know, more cornerback depth. We need another running back add to that room. So we did all those things. Like, you can't do everything, you know, in a draft.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I understand that. But, damn, we need a tight end.
Still need a tight end. That is for sure. All right, we're going to take a timeout.
Just stay healthy.
Just stay healthy.
If he stays healthy, knock then I think, you know, we can have a competent tight end.
There we go. Just need 17 weeks of healthy hamstrings. Let's hope. And
give me 12.
Okay.
Okay.
Bakers can't
12.
Be choosers. Yes. You're right, Stoke. when we get back, let's hit the hardwood. The Nuggets couldn't complete the sweep for the second straight season over the Lakers on Saturday night, but maybe the loss turns out to be a good thing in the long run for Denver. Let's kick that around next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Nuggets drop game 4 in L.A. Couldn't complete the sweep. So is game 4 a wake-up call? Something that can get the Nuggets going, get Jamal going, really is the question. We're going to kick that around and love to hear from you Nuggets fans on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. There was another story ahead of game 4 that I thought was kind of strange, and Michael Malone actually talked about it as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you see the shoes?
Oh, my gosh.
So, apparently, the Nuggets equipment, you know, they take a couple of buses. There's like 3 or 4 buses that'll get the players, another group of players, some coaches, and equipment, and all that good stuff. So, the players leave their team hotel. They're going to go to Crypto. They're going to do shoot around, warm up, get ready for the game, and all that nonsense. Well, the bus that was carrying their equipment, which includes the shoes they need to play in, got held up or something along the way, didn't make it in time to the arena. While like guys like MPJ, Peyton Watson, I saw a few players out there having to go through warm-ups in their slides.
Yeah, like the pre-warm-ups,
the pre-warm-up,
right?
Yeah. Not like 2 hours before game time. Right. They're there a handful of hours.
Yeah, right. You know, stuff happens. This is one of those things that you just think would never happen. that the equipment gets on the wrong bus. So I guess it's like the NFL. Like the NFL, we had two different bus times that would leave. You know, the early bus would get you there, you know, 3 hours before the game, and the next buses would get you there 2 hours before the game, right? So probably something similar like that in the NBA. Some guys like to get there early, some guys don't. So in this situation, just weird. I mean, have we ever seen anything like this before?
I mean, not that I can remember.
Right, where the equipment doesn't, you know, get to the arena on time and it's on the wrong bus. So a situation that's certainly not ideal for the players. Like, you want to have your routine. You get there early to get your warm-up in. You know, you got a routine that you like to follow. How do you not have shoes there? it's just crazy to think about it. But at the same time, it's like, all right, whatever. It is what it is.
Right.
You know, you got to be able to adapt. You got to be able to overcome. And it's not that big a deal at the end of the day. That's not why you lost the basketball game. Okay, and they weren't making excuses about it. I don't think anything I heard, Michael Malone wasn't. I saw some Michael Porter Jr. comments. They weren't making excuses. It's not an ideal situation, certainly, but it's certainly not why they lost that basketball game.
Here is what Coach Malone had to say about the shoes, or lack thereof.
If you want to, you know, dig into stuff and say, well, we lost because for some strange reason, all of our players didn't have their shoes when they got here for their normal warm-ups. We had guys out there shooting around with flip-flops. Is that ideal? No. But I'm not an excuse guy, and I'm not going to point to the reason we got our butts kicked in the paint because shoes weren't here. I think that's a reach, personally.
And they got their butts kicked in the paint real bad. So, yeah, didn't have anything to do with slides while you're taking a few warm-up jump shots. But it's a fun little story. I don't know
about fun.
You know,
it's not fun for us. I mean, it's like...
Well, what do we do to them tonight? You know what I mean? Like, how do we get back at the Lakers bus?
Well, they didn't do it.
I don't know.
They didn't do it to us.
Maybe they
did. We did it to ourselves.
Maybe they hired a different bus driver.
Oh, they...
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, you got to adapt and overcome. It's not really that big a deal. And it's certainly like Michael Malone. It wasn't why they didn't play good defense. It wasn't why they couldn't, you know, stop LeBron and AD. So you just got to play better. But stuff like that can't happen here.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What are we doing out there, you know, shooting warm-ups in your flip-flops and slide? Like, what? Like, I would think that you just go out there with just socks on then. Like, why would you
–
you know, jumping or doing any kind of shot with slides on, to me, is more dangerous than just going out there, like, in your socks.
Yeah, or maybe just, like, grab a bite to eat and kick it for an hour, wait for the bus to get there.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess, yeah, you want to stay in your routine. Hey, I like to get some shots up, and I don't think it's the biggest deal ever, but it's just kind of, it was weird that did happen to the Nuggets. Look. They've been kind of playing with fire this whole series, and how they've started games, and they've been able to overcome that and come back. And in that game, they just weren't able to do it. So they just got to play better, got to play much better, got to start better, got to come out the gates. You know, like hey, this is do or die. I mean, that's how you got to play this basketball game tonight.
I mean, they're up 3-1, Stoke, and they have not played a full basketball game yet.
Well, I don't think it's been close.
No, not at
all.
I
mean, it's not
even
like
they were saying it on the broadcast that this is obviously before game four, that the time discrepancy of holding the lead, the Lakers were 90 plus minutes and the Nuggets were 30 plus minutes.
Wow.
That's been the discrepancy of time holding the lead.
That's remarkable for a team that was up 3-0.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
And they haven't played well. And it's obviously Jamal's kind of the leader of that hasn't played well, but. That's kind of what I was looking at. Does this loss wake them up as a whole? Does it wake Jamal up as a whole and going, look, if I'm not at my best and I'm not shooting the ball well, we can get beat by any team, even the Lakers, despite you being so much better than them roster-wise?
Well, I mean, like, does it wake you up? I mean, that's you gotta go out there and do it. It's not like, oh, yeah, now we're going to go out there and do it.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Know, yeah,
like, you got to go do it. I mean, it's
right.
Not one of those things you just say it.
Right.
And just like, yeah, I'm going to play better tonight. I'm going to shoot better.
We lost.
I'm going to make some three-pointers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now we're going to play better. I mean, Michael Malone has been telling them this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, hey, I guarantee you, he told him after game one. He told him after game two. He told him after game three. And then you know what he told him after game four?
The same thing?
Told you so. told you so. Like, we can't play like that and expect to keep winning. So, you know, he's been bringing it up a lot. And, hey, they just got to go out there and figure out how to play better for four quarters there. Bench has been awful. I mean, just terrible.
Yes, it has.
And it's got to be much better because I'm not just – I mean, I don't think our focus is on just beating the Lakers. We're going to beat the Lakers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It's Minnesota. It's, you know, whoever's after that, OKC. Mm-hmm. It's the Celtics or, you know, whoever's going to come out of the East. I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking about. Like, we're trying to win a championship here. We're not just trying to get out of the first round and beat the Lakers. So the bench has got to be better. I mean, they've been so bad. Mm-hmm. They can't make shots. Like, that's not good in basketball. You got to make shots, Josh.
Yep.
Right?
That is a part of the game, yeah.
That's a big part of the game. And no one can make a shot, so it's they got to play much better. Jamal's got to play much better and start finding his shot, his three-point range there. And so it's, you know, I think the bright spots you look at, obviously Jokic. I mean, what a big boy triple-double. You're talking about 33, 14, and 14 of them mm-hmm. things. Michael Porter Jr., love what you're seeing from him. So, but the other guys have got to bring it.
We got Laker Dane checking in on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Okay.
He's been steady with it. He says, hey, guys, Laker Dane in the building. We finally got a win. But I know we're probably just delaying the inevitable at this point. But, in all caps, if we win game five, the Lakers win this series in seven.
Oh, I don't know about all of that.
So you're going to win two games in Denver, if that's the case.
But I tell you what, if they win tonight, I'm nervous.
I'll probably get a little nervous myself.
I'm nervous. So let's just take care of business tonight so we can put Laker Dane and LeBron and AD night-night.
You know what, Laker Dane's a gentleman.
Yeah.
And that's why he's going to get this gentleman sweep on his head coming up tonight.
Oh, what the?
We like you, Laker Dane, but yeah, this thing is a wrap coming up tonight. All right, let me tell you about the Fan Flyaway because this thing is back, and this time it's for a road game in the Pro Basketball Championship in June for you and a guest. Here's what you're going to get if you go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. Register for the contest. Get your special offer from Sport Clips. Two tickets to the game. Round trip airfare for you and the guest from Denver to everywhere the game is going to be played. Put you up in a hotel for two nights and give you $500 to spend while you're out there. Some walking around money for you. If you were in our Fan Flyaway contest back in February, you don't have to re-register. We've already got you in the contest. And if you're new to it, this is your first time registering, you're going to be a part of all future Fan Flyaway contests by simply registering at denversports.com/thefanflyaway. So go there, get your special offer from Sport Clips. They're the ones getting it all done for us. So big shout out to our friends over at Sport Clips. All right, Stoke, want to go to the other side of this with the Colorado Avalanche. And the Nuggets can close tonight. The Avs can close tomorrow night. How close are they to closing? And is it going to take a Mikko Rantanen appearance to do so? That's next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I've been throwing down the whiskey. I ought to get my money back. Someone said it drowns a memory.
You know what we might need? We might need the Chicken Fingers remix special, but this song is about Bo Nix. You think you can manage that?
I don't know. Chicken Fingers? What do you think?
I mean, do we want this one to be about Bo?
Well, maybe another, a more upbeat kind of, well, this is pretty upbeat. I like this song.
We want more of like a love song by Morgan?
Yeah, that might be better, right?
Okay. Okay.
This is like, hey, we can't.
Yeah. Well, we want to give you we want to let your creativity, right there, right? You pick what you think goes best with Bo Nix.
Okay.
And then you present it to us, and we either pass it or fail it.
Okay.
How about that?
It has to be Morgan's song, though.
It does.
I think, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's up to you. This is on you to make us a great Bo Nix hit. You did the diss track on Russ, right? You did the diss track on Russ, right? So
from Sean's point of view.
Yeah, from Sean Payton's point of view. And now it's however you feel you need to welcome Bo Nix to Broncos country.
Okay. You do it.
Yeah.
I can do that.
All right.
I like
Can't
that.
Wait for that.
That's going to be awesome. All right. 303-713-1043. You want to join us, hit us up right there on the RamosLaw.com text line. Love to hear from you on what the Broncos did over the weekend via the draft, the Nuggets chance to close, or what we're going to chat about right here, which is Miko Rantanen and the Colorado Avalanche. We've talked throughout this series, Stoke, about Miko not being great. Miko having some struggles for the Avalanche. Just not doing Miko things, what we've come to expect and know and love out of Miko Rantanen. And he has not done any of that yet through the postseason. And then I was kind of looking at, like, hey, can I make some sort of comp between Miko Rantanen and Jamal Murray and the struggles that they're having and the importance to their team? And I guess maybe the most simplest form of that question is Miko Rantanen the Jamal Murray of the Nuggets? Is Jamal Murray the Miko Rantanen of the Colorado Avalanche? We know that they're both obviously very, very important into what they do. But I don't know if that's a fair comp, Stoke, because I think Jamal is so much more important for what the Nuggets want to do. Not that Miko's not, but the Avalanche have Val. The Avalanche have Kale. The Avalanche have a Tori Lehkonen, who is playing some great hockey right now, and certainly on both ends of the ice. I don't think that, and again, I'm not trying to demean what he means.
Yeah.
But Jamal has more responsibility with the Nuggets than Miko does with the Avalanche. But just like we said with Jamal, how they're not going back to the championship if Jamal doesn't figure it out, the Avs aren't going to raise another cup unless Miko figures it out, like starting tomorrow night.
Yeah, need him to find the back of the net, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he's got 6 assists. So, you know, he it's not like he's not doing anything, right? So he is getting a lot of assists, but, you know, we kind of need more from him,
yeah.
Right? It's like, all right, well, you know, Michael Porter Jr. is getting a lot of rebounds, but if he's not scoring, right, we need you to score, Michael Porter mm-hmm. Jr., which he's doing. And that's the way I look at Miko. It's like, all right, yeah, the assist thing is good, but need to get him going, scoring some goals here. And I think the great thing here is you're up 3-1, right, and you haven't got a lot of offensive production from him,
yeah.
Right? One of your best players, obviously. So I think that's a huge positive here. They're still doing it, and they're still finding ways to win games and score goals and without him scoring goals. So I think that's a big positive moving forward and hopefully finishing off this series.
One of the texters is asking about, was it Nemestikov, I think the player was? You see that Jets dude took a puck to the face? And it was coming in hot still. It got up underneath the visor. I don't know if it was like, I mean, it's his face. It probably hurt like, you know what. But like underneath the visor cheek or like got some of the eye. But I mean, he went down immediately, blood all over the place. And yeah, they had to take him off the ice pretty quickly. And one of the texters is wondering if that person is all right, Nemestikov. I certainly would be out for about 9 months if that happened to me. But these guys are hockey players, so probably back on the ice tomorrow night.
Right? Yeah. No update from me. I'm not a trainer, so
yeah.
Not a doctor.
You don't even like trainers.
I just stayed
anyway.
At the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you rather do? Let me ask.
I like some trainers.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Just not that one.
Or two.
Okay. What would – now, let's – this might be tough. Let's go back to the athlete, Brandon Stokley. Okay? You're that guy now.
Okay.
Would you rather – I don't want to say take a puck to the face because nobody wants to do that. But like Arturi Lehkonen last night or yesterday afternoon dove in front of a shot.
Right.
And then actually comes back and gets a goal on the other end. It was a beautiful sequence from Arturi, who's not my Turi or your Turi. He's our Turi.
Right. Yes, definitely. Our.
Yeah. Would you rather do that or like middle of the field, crossing route, and Ray Lewis is waiting for you on the other side?
Yeah, I'd probably rather take a puck.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, because here's why.
All right.
Like, the puck could hit, you know, I don't know, your little shoulder pad or something.
Sure.
Or you got padding. Like, it could – so you might get lucky to where it doesn't, like, catch you clean somewhere, right? I've never had hockey gear on, so I don't know exactly what they wear. Like I told you, I've never skated before.
Yeah.
And I will never skate, right? So I don't know exactly what they wear. But there's some protected areas that maybe – you know, won't hurt as bad, so you might get lucky there.
Right.
You take a hit from Ray, you're taking a hit from Ray, it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt everywhere?
Yeah, so I'd take the puck.
Yeah, okay.
And you might get a concussion, you might get, you know, like,
yeah.
So you're probably not going to get a, hopefully you don't get hit in the head
right.
with the puck, but shoulder, something else,
mm-hmm.
I think you're better off than the hit from Ray.
Do you remember Kimbo Slice?
Yeah, the boxer guy dude.
Yeah, like
he did
street fighting, and then he got a couple shots at the MMA world. Well, when Kimbo was like up and coming, he was trying to make a name for himself. He would, for his like early on YouTube page, I used to have a lot of free time. I probably still have a lot of free time because I would do this right now today. He used to go to like, he's a Miami guy. So we'd go to the beach in Miami and he'd be like, hey, we're doing a skit for my YouTube page. Will you, for $100 or whatever, let me tackle you? You got the football. I'm going to come and tackle you. And guys would do it, you know, for $100.
Right.
I might
tackle
do it.
Me. Yeah.
Well, who's this guy? Sure. Tackle me. I'll take your hundo. And then he would destroy them and basically split their bodies in half with the spear type tackle. And then everybody would instantly regret it. And they'd throw $100 at him and then just walk away.
Not worth it.
No.
Not worth it.
Absolutely
for $100
not
to
worth
get,
it.
You know, like broken ribs and be in a lot of pain. That, no, certainly. It's definitely not worth it.
So that's kind of what I thought about with
okay.
that.
Okay.
All right. And then lastly here with the Jets. I mean, it feels like the Lakers. I know they got game four, but it's kind of inevitable, writing on the wall kind of thing. Like, have the Avs just taken the soul from the Jets? It's over, right?
They've taken their heart.
Yeah,
they've taken their will. They've taken everything from them. I mean, they have just dismantled them. I mean, this thing was a really good series. I mean, for the Jets, they were fine. They won that first game and obviously lost the second, but the third one there. I mean, what was it? It was 2-1 going to the third?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, Av scored 5?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that was it. You know, and Hella Buick, I mean, he doesn't look the same.
No, he doesn't.
Obviously. And you're talking about the best goalie in the league? I mean, goodness gracious. And Georgie's playing so well. His confidence is back. I didn't see that one happening for the Avs. So it's been awesome to see. And, I think they're toast, man. I don't know what they have left. But, you know, the way this thing started, and you talked about it, like they've had a history of first-round losses.
Yeah.
And here you go again type of thing for them. So I think they're toast.
I do too. Avs fans, how you feeling? Is this thing over coming up on Tuesday night? Or will the Jets find a way to force what would be a game 6? Back here in Colorado. Tell us on the text line. The number's 303-713-1043. We'll get back to some Avs conversation, Nuggets conversation in our lunch hour as well. But coming up next, we're fired up for this one.
Oh, man, I can't wait for this one.
This is going to be a ton of fun. You said it earlier, and it's the perfect line. The star of the draft for the Denver Broncos, he's going to join us next. Our old pal, Tony Scheffler, next.